my best friends in preaching, and I definitely count him as one of the best men in preaching. It's great to be here tonight. I got this phone call. Adam called, I don't know, back in the spring sometime. And he said, would you come and speak at our series? And I was shocked. I was absolutely shocked because I said, Adam, I've been there before. These people have heard me and they want me back? And he assured me that you did. So your charity is greatly appreciated. The original plan was for Ben to come with me tonight, and we were going to go on and go to St. Louis and watch the Cardinals play the Royals tomorrow night and watch the Cardinals play the Braves night after that, and then we were going to drive home late. The boy got sick on me. He's been running a fever since Sunday, and his mama wouldn't let him come, and so we don't get to go. How many people here are Cardinals fans? Oh, yeah. We got any Royals fans in this group? I'm sorry. But anyway, it's good to be here. And the Cardinals did something this week that Stan the Man's team never did, that Albert Pujols' teams never did. They scored 10 runs or more in three straight games. That's the first time that that has happened in a long, long time. Bobby Dockery is one of my closest friends, and I know that he introduced this series. And the series is on divine horticulture. His part of the series was on divine horticulture. It was the beginning of the series. I know that lesson very well. I preached it in other venues. I further know, not having talked to him about it, that he disabused you of the notion that there are 9 fruits of the Spirit listed in Galatians chapter 5. The things in this list are really 8 manifestations of the one fruit of the Spirit, which is love. Somebody has said that faithfulness, which is our topic tonight, is the manifestation of love hanging on. How do you explain the faithfulness of a mother whose son has made a hash out of his life? Love. How do you explain the faithfulness of a husband whose wife doesn't even recognize him anymore because of the debilitating brain disease which she has? I know a man like that. And you explain that with love. How do you explain the forgiving heart which turns the other cheek? How do you explain the heart which goes the extra mile as Jesus commanded? Love, that's how. You know, we've done a disservice to our kids. When I was growing up, and perhaps when you were growing up, and perhaps when they were growing up, they were told, turn the other cheek. Nobody would hit you on the other cheek. Did they ever tell you that? They would. Some people would. They would. Go the extra mile, because when you go the extra mile, it will be appreciated. Maybe. Maybe not. You see, we don't do those things because they work. Jesus Jesus is largely not pragmatic. We do those things because they're right. We do those things because our Lord, who died on a cross for us, said, do them. I want you to keep that in mind as we talk about faithfulness tonight. Because we're going to be talking about practical things, but not in a pragmatic way. What do I mean by that? Well, you'll see in a moment. A lack of love explains a lot. How do you explain the unfaithfulness of a juvenile delinquent who has rejected the pleadings of his parents, who has rejected their tears, who has rejected their begging, who has rejected their discipline? How do you explain that? A lack of love. How do you explain the lack of faithfulness in a man who stays home from an annual church trip to a convention where his sons will be speaking and learning to lead, and uses that time instead to hook up with his girlfriend? A lack of love. I know that boy, and I know that man, if he can be called such. How do you explain a person who would divide a congregation of the Lord's church in the name of unity? I think that you explain that with a lack of love. So indeed, faithfulness is a manifestation of love. You know, I don't think God gives us commands which are abstract. I think He is practical. When He tells us to love, He shows us how love behaves. You see, when Jesus says, love your enemies, we have a hard time with that. Because to us, love is a word which we use in so many different ways that we're not really sure how it applies here. I love pasta. Can you see the evidence of that? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I love it. I've been to St. Louis a whole lot of times. Last time, we went to this place called The Hill. Yogi Berra's, Yogi Berra's old neighborhood, Joe Garagiola's old neighborhood. They call it Hall of Fame Drive down that street. And we ate at a restaurant, and I really think you could just go to one at random. Oh, wow. That was good stuff. I love that. I don't think that's what Jesus is talking about here, though. We talk about love like it's something you fall in, like a hole. Or something that you catch, like the measles. Nobody catches the measles anymore. What do you catch now? The flu. We talk about love this, love that. We're not really getting down to the point that Jesus was, because you see, when Jesus asks us to love, He shows us what that is. And what He does is He shows us how love behaves. And that's what the passage in Galatians 5, which was on the board a little bit ago, that's what that passage does. It illustrates love. It makes it concrete. John the Baptist called on people to repent. Fairly abstract, isn't it? Repent means change. Military word. means stop going the way you're going and turn around. We would say in the military, about face. Turn around. Change. That's what John the Baptist was asking for. Change your hearts. Change your minds. But see, John the Baptist didn't stop there. He said, change your lives. And so he's giving them something concrete to measure the abstract. The abstract is change. The abstract is repent. The concrete is bring forth works. The old King James said, meet for repentance. The newer versions say, in keeping with repentance. Essentially, he was saying, repentance is as repentance does. And the Bible teaches that love is as love does. And the thing that we're going to talk about tonight is faithfulness as a manifestation of love. One which we can see. So before we get to the body of our lesson, what does God mean by faithfulness? Jesus told a story. And it's in Matthew chapter 25, beginning of verse 14. It's kind of long. Would you read with me? I'll give you a minute to turn over there. Matthew 25, starting in verse 14. We're going to read 14 verses. I'm not very good at math. It might be 15 verses. It's verses 14 through 28, okay? You do the math. Jesus said this, "For it'll be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more, but he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he had received the 5 talents, came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful.'" Underline that word in your mind. "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I've made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sowed and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what is my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. What does God mean by a faithful servant? Does he mean people who don't miss church, even on Wednesday night? I really think that that's what we mean. I do. See a faithful Christian? You betcha. Always at church. I think that that's what we mean a lot of the time. It's a hard thing to measure. I get it. Okay? It would require to being kind of a nosy rosy if you wanted to figure out more. But it's not nosy if it's you, and you're looking at your own faithfulness. And by the way, You're the one who's commanded to examine yourself. I'm really not called upon to examine you. Our attendance is part of our faithfulness, but it's far from all of it. It's just visible. It's easy to count. It's there or not there. That's easy. But as one man said, if one expects to answer when the roll is called up yonder, he'd better be present when the roll's called down here. That's the minimum starting point. Okay? But faithfulness involves so much more. The word faithful is a Greek word, or from a Greek word in the Greek New Testament, which is pistos, and it's the same word here in Galatians 5 with the verses that we've been talking about in connection with these lessons. And here's what it means. It means trustworthy. It means sure. It means dependable. Bill goes to Green Valley Bible Camp every summer. This year he had to miss. I've been going to Green Valley Bible Camp about as long as he has. And here's how it works. I put a camp book together which gives organization. I invite dependable, trustworthy people. And then I show up. And I don't do much, really, while camp's going on. I teach a Bible class. I put out the occasional fire. I don't mean literal fires. I just mean, you know, not yet at least. And if I did need to put out one of those fires, we had a fireman on staff this summer. He's dependable. I would put him in charge of that. But you know, the things that happen during the week, usually it's an adult that causes them. Anyway, don't get me started. Am I wrong? No, I am not. No, I am not. You invite dependable, trustworthy, faithful people to go to camp. And God wants us to be dependable, trustworthy, faithful people in His service. And that's more than just showing up for church. Here's how Jesus defined the word faithful. He said, "Who then is the faithful and wise servant?" Oh, wow, this is good. "Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes." Matthew 24, verses 45 and 46. Doing his work. There's an old spiritual song, part of the song says there's a master true and high, and he lives up in the sky, and he'll find me hoeing cotton when he comes. He'll find me hoeing cotton when he comes. Hoeing cotton is a metaphor for being about the Father's business. And that's what I want to be doing when Jesus comes back. The Father's business. A person who is faithful is somebody that God can depend on. Preeminently in Scripture, our example, Jesus Christ, is the one who is called in Revelation 19 and in Revelation 3, faithful and true. Did you know that that's part of the words to the wedding march? Have you ever heard it sung? Probably not. You've probably only heard the music. Dum, dum, da, dum. And you thought the words were, here comes the bride. Really, the words are faithful and true. Are you? Are you faithful and true? Can Jesus count on you? Will you be hoeing cotton when he comes? That's faithfulness. Jesus is the perfect example of faithfulness. The rest of us fall short at times, but he still counts us faithful and true if we confess our sins and walk in the light as he himself is in the light, 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. To measure our faithfulness and our love, what does Jesus give us? Well, in this story that we read together just a minute ago, I'm going to try to fly through this, okay? In the story that we read about the men who were given the talents, in that story, I think we can learn three things about the person who is faithful. And what I want you to know before we do anything else is to get that word talent out of our mind and put into our minds money. Because that's what a talent is. A talent was a unit of weight. A unit of measure regarding weight. And they measured gold or silver in weight. Apparently the Brits used to do that. You've got the British pound. That's the name of their currency, right? Not uncommon in human history. So know that what Jesus is talking about is one fella is given some money, another fella is given a little less money, and another fella is given just a little bit of money. In accordance with their abilities, Jesus said. So in accordance with their abilities, they're given this money. That's what this is all about. Now, what did they do with it? And what is the money a metaphor for? Well, it's a metaphor for gains made in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, because Jesus said this is a kingdom parable, just like the one before it, which was also a kingdom parable. And he said the kingdom of God is like, and he tells the story of the 10 virgins. And then he drops down and he says, and it is like, the kingdom is like, and he tells this story about the money and how they're put in charge of it and what kind of gains they can make with that money. So, with that little piece of background, let's look at three things. Number one, a person who is faithful must do. There's something to do. God will not say, well said, good and faithful servant. He will not say, well thought, good and faithful servant. He will not say, well planned, good and faithful servant. And he most certainly will not say, well intentioned, good and faithful servant, because we know what road is paved with those, right? He will say, well done. The Bible is a book about doing. The words do, deed, deeds, and done occur in the New Testament, in just the New Testament, are you ready? 589 times, an average of more than twice per chapter. James said, but the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Chapter 1 and verse 25. The picture there was of a guy who looks at his own face in a mirror to see if adjustments need to be made. Have your parents foolishly let you watch Happy Days? Okay. What does the Fonz do when he looks in a mirror? Does he fix everything? No, he doesn't. The Fonz doesn't fix anything. He just looks in the mirror and gets his comb out and goes, hey, can't improve on this. That's the kind of guy that Jesus is talking about. That's the kind of person that Jesus is talking about. But he's not talking about physical appearance. He's talking about people who look into God's Word, they see adjustments that need to be made, and they go, I'm awesome. I'm great. Faithfulness is about doing. Doing. The Chinese say, be first in the field and the last to the couch. A person who desires to excel and be faithful in God's eyes must find something to do. But what? That's a question. What? Well, look around your congregation. What do you see that needs doing? Is there somebody being neglected? That was the first trouble they had in the church. Did you know that? The first trouble they had in the church in the book of Acts came when some people were being neglected. The Grecian widows, specifically. And it had to do with distribution of food. And things were going haywire there. And so that needed to be fixed. Something needed to be done. The apostle saw to it that it was. Does a missionary need encouragement? Does a class need a teacher? Do teens need a chaperone? Do bulletin boards need changed? Does a classroom need to be spruced up? Does a closet need to be cleaned out? Is there somebody who needs encouraging? Is there somebody you need to reconcile with? Is there a lost soul that needs teaching? Is there somebody who's been a Christian but has sort of fallen away from the way of faithfulness and needs to be brought back? There is much to do. A song in your songbook says, there's work on every hand. And that's true. There is work on every hand if we will take notice and work. There are people at the church which I attend, which is about the size of this congregation. There are people involved in things that nobody knows about. And the only reason I know anything about some of those things is because I'm there during the day, some of the time. I'm at the office. I see them come in. They need some supplies. We used to have one guy who would come in, and he would fix songbooks. That's what he did. He went around, he collected the ones that were ready, and the backs were falling off of, and he took them up, and he put duct tape on them and fixed them. Sometimes he used camo duct tape. I suppose under the theory that nobody would be able to see it then. But he saw something that needed to be done, and he did it. That's awesome. You can do that. You have to be grown up. You don't have to be young. See something you can do, and do. Because faithfulness involves doing. Sometimes we don't know what we're cut out to do. It's okay. If I teach a class and that doesn't really work well, maybe I need to find somewhere else to use my abilities. Maybe I don't have those abilities. I'm always constantly amazed. Do you know where people want to start teaching? Do you know which class they want to teach first? Every time. Who do they want to teach first? The what? The babies? No, I didn't want to ask for the babies. You know what they asked for? I think, yeah, you got it. You got it, kid. That is exactly what they say. I'll teach the teenagers. And the teenagers are like, oh, dear. Hey, if you're going to volunteer to teach, start with the people who are about 80 years old. They're rooting for you. Okay? They're pulling for you. They're not making spitballs and thinking up answers that your questions that you don't have answers for. They're not. Start out with the chronologically challenged group. But the main thing, y'all, is that we have a desire to do. I honestly believe that if you have a desire to do, the work will work itself out. The what will work itself out. For if the readiness is there, 2 Corinthians 8:12, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. If the readiness is there, do. Number two, a person who excels must do well. The verb do or done is modified here in this passage with the talents, with the word well. Well done, good and faithful servant. Oh, wow. Not even I could have missed that. Solomon commanded, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the grave where you are going, well, that's really optimistic, isn't it? For in the grave where you are going, there is neither working nor planning nor knowledge or wisdom. You can rest when you're dead. That's what Solomon says. That's what he says. Do. And do well. When God finished creation, what was his take on the whole thing? It's very good. It's very good. Mark chapter 7, verse 37, it was said of Jesus, he has done all things well. That's our goal. We don't reach it every time. But as we practice, we get better. We do well. And number three, we need to do good. That's different. That's an adjective. And it's used to describe the kind of servant that God associates with excellence. The word that's translated good is found 106 times in the New Testament. Jesus said of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, that Mary had chosen the good part. The good part. Acts 10:38, he went about doing good. That's Jesus. God expects good from us. We talk about the good life, we're talking about something completely different. Christians won't sell out for that. They're committed to what is truly a greater good. The New Testament uses the word faithful 54 times. God wants our love for Him to be such that we exhibit the kind of faithfulness our Lord exhibited. The fruit of the Spirit is love, and if we are displaying the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, people will see it in our faithfulness, and they will fail to see it in our unfaithfulness. That's God's one overarching command for us, that we be found faithful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and for the blessings that you've given us. We're grateful that we could come together here tonight. We ask that you will be with us as we go home, and please keep us safe in that. We're thankful for this church and for the work that her preachers are doing and that her leaders are doing. We pray that you will help this be a congregation which is determined to be faithful. And we pray that it is going to be filled with people who are Spirit-filled people and therefore have the goal of being faithful individuals in your kingdom. We ask that you will please be with those who are sick. Be with the young lady who was in the car wreck tonight. And we pray that she'll do well from that. We're grateful that she wasn't hurt badly. And we pray that you will please bring us back together again so that we might lift up your name in praise. Please forgive us of our sins and help us to see sin like you see it. Help us to see it in its ugliness and help us want to get it out of our lives. These things we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.